Welcome to Quanta Magazine's podcast. Each episode, we bring you stories about developments in science and mathematics. I'm Susan Vallich. To better understand how neural networks learn to simulate writing, researchers are training simpler versions using something right out of bedtime, synthetic children's stories. That's next.
It's season 3 of The Joy of Why, and I still have a lot of questions, like, what is this thing we call time? Why does altruism exist? And where is Jan 11?
I'm here, astrophysicist and co-host, ready for anything.
That's right, I'm bringing in the A-team.
So brace yourselves.
Get ready to learn.
I'm Jan 11.
I'm Steve Strogatz.
And this is...
Quanta Magazine's podcast, The Joy of Why.
New episodes drop every other Thursday.
As countless students know, learning English is no easy task. But when the student is a computer, one approach works surprisingly well. Simply feed mountains of text from the internet into a giant mathematical model called a neural network. That's the operating principle behind generative language models like OpenAI's ChatGPT, whose ability to converse coherently, if not always truthfully, on a wide range of topics has surprised researchers and the public over the past year or so. But the approach has its drawbacks. For one thing, the training procedure required to transform vast text archives into state-of-the-art language models is costly and time-intensive. For another, even the people who train large language models find it hard to understand their inner workings. That, in turn, makes it hard to predict the many ways they can fail. Faced with these difficulties, some researchers have opted to train smaller models on smaller datasets and then study their behavior. Ellie Pavlik is a language model researcher at Brown University who deals with natural language processing, or NLP.
Earlier NLP models, you would have word embeddings, and it's a 300-dimensional vector to represent a word. So it's like, okay, all of language boiled down to 300, we can figure out what each of those 300 dimensions is doing, and then we'll know what the representation is. We'll get it. And so I think people still want to do something like that. And so now we have a trillion parameter model, and it's going to be harder to figure out what a trillion things are doing. Another kind of idea is it's like sequencing the Drosophila versus sequencing a human genome. So there's like a feeling that a smaller model could be more interpretable for those reasons.
In a paper posted to the scientific preprint server archive.org, a pair of Microsoft researchers have introduced a new method for training tiny language models. Raise them on a strict diet of children's stories. The two researchers showed that language models thousands of times smaller than today's state-of-the-art systems rapidly learn to tell consistent and grammatical stories when trained in this way. The results hint at new research directions that might be helpful for training larger models and understanding their behavior. Chandra Bhagavatula is a language model researcher at the Allen Institute for Artificial Intelligence in Seattle.
I found this paper very informative and educative. The concept itself is super interesting to me, like trying to find a smaller subset of this, the internet corpus. Instead of that, maybe there is a smaller subset. Let's study our language models on that and see what happens.
The neural networks at the heart of language models are mathematical structures, loosely inspired by the human brain. Each one contains many artificial neurons arranged in layers, with connections between neurons in adjacent layers. The neural network's behavior is governed by the strength of these connections, called parameters. In a language model, the parameters control which words the model might spit out next, given an initial prompt and the words it has generated already. A model only truly comes to life during training when it repeatedly compares its own output to the text in its training dataset and adjusts its parameters to increase the resemblance. An untrained network with random parameters is trivially easy to assemble from a few lines of code, but it will just produce gibberish. After training, it can often plausibly continue unfamiliar text. Larger models often undergo further fine-tuning that teaches them to answer questions and follow instructions, but the bulk of the training is mastering word prediction. Success at word prediction requires a language model to master many different skills. Here's mathematician Ronan Aldun.
there are several dimensions to what is needed to predict the next words when you look at different words. So for some words, it's only grammar and it's also very local. Some words, you don't need to know anything, just a few words before.
For example, the rules of English grammar suggest that the next word after the word going is likely to be to, regardless of the subject of the text. In addition, a system needs factual knowledge to complete "the capital of France is," and completing a passage containing the word not requires a rudimentary grasp of logic. Timothy Nguyen is a machine learning researcher at DeepMind.
Raw language is very complicated. There's many contexts. It could be sort of stream of consciousness, Reddit style text. There could be polished Wikipedia text. There could just be scientific documents. In order for interesting linguistic capabilities to arise, people have resorted to more data is better. Okay, so we only got Reddit, but now let's throw in Wikipedia. Now let's throw in books. Right? And if you keep doing that, pretty soon you're going to get a very, very large data set.
Machine learning researchers have embraced this lesson. GPT 3.5, the large language model that powers the ChatGPT interface, has nearly 200 billion parameters. It was trained on a dataset comprising hundreds of billions of words. Training such large models typically requires at least 1,000 specialized processors called GPUs, running in parallel for weeks at a time. Only a few companies can muster the requisite resources, let alone train and compare different models. Aldan joined Microsoft Research in 2022 to study generative language models. He wanted to develop a cheaper and faster way to explore their abilities. The natural way to do that was by using a small dataset. That meant he'd have to train models to specialize in a specific task so they wouldn't spread themselves too thin. Initially, he wanted to train models to solve a certain class of math problems, but one afternoon, after spending time with his 5-year-old daughter, he realized that children's stories were a perfect fit.
It literally came to me after I read her story. It's such a simple idea. Children do have reasoning capabilities. They do know facts. It's just more limited, so why don't we try to aim to that?
To generate coherent children's stories, a language model would need to learn facts about the world, keep track of characters and events, and observe the rules of grammar. Simpler versions of the challenges facing large models. But large models trained on massive datasets learn countless irrelevant details, along with the rules that really matter. Aldan hoped the brevity and limited vocabulary of children's stories might make learning more manageable for small models, making them both easier to train and easier to understand. Here's Nguyen.
And this paper basically said, okay, let's simplify language by creating this tiny stories data set, basically kind of children story-like language. And it's still natural language, but just much simpler.
In the world of language models, though, small is relative. A dataset 1,000 times smaller than the one used to train GPT 3.5 would still need to contain millions of stories.
You could have hired professionals, but I don't know how much money you want to spend, but I'm guessing you're not going to hire professionals to write 2 million short stories.
It would take an extraordinarily prolific author to satisfy such voracious readers, but Aldan had a few candidates in mind. Who better to write for an audience of small language models than large ones? Aldan immediately set out to create a library of synthetic children's stories generated by large language models. But he soon discovered that even state-of-the-art models aren't naturally creative. Aldan says if you tell GPT-4 to write stories appropriate for 4-year-olds without adding any parameters,
about 1/5 of the stories will be about children going to the park being scared of the slides. Not very creative.
That's apparently the quintessential preschool story as far as the internet is concerned. The solution was to add a bit of randomness to the prompt. First, Aldan used GPT-4 to generate a list of 1,500 nouns, verbs, and adjectives that a 4-year-old might know. It was short enough that he could easily check it himself. Then he wrote a simple computer program that would repeatedly prompt GPT 3.5 or GPT-4 to generate an age-appropriate story that included three random words from the list, along with an additional randomly chosen detail like a happy ending or a plot twist. The resulting stories were less focused on scary slides. Aldon now had a procedure for churning out training data on demand, but he had no idea how many stories he'd need to train a functional model or how big that model would need to be. That's when he teamed up with Yuanji Li, a machine learning researcher at Microsoft and Carnegie Mellon University. Their idea was to try different possibilities, taking advantage of the fact that small models could be trained very quickly. Here's Aldon.
So we created the data set, and then we didn't know how big the data set should be, how big the model should be. We basically trained the model, and we were hoping for the best. And we knew that models like GPT-2, which is 1.5 billion parameters, you know, we played with it quite a lot, and we knew that, okay, it's like if you write a sentence, it's going to complete it in a plausible way. But it almost is never coherent beyond one or two sentences. You know, it's basically like BS machine. You know, it doesn't really understand what it's saying. And then we trained a much smaller model just to see, you know, that our training pipeline works. And from the first time we interacted with the model, we were pretty surprised how well it works.
Step one was deciding how to evaluate their models. In language model research, just as in every classroom, there's no perfect rubric that encapsulates everything researchers want to know. Models that excel at some tasks often fail spectacularly at others. Over time, researchers have developed various standard benchmarks based on questions with unambiguous answers, which is a good approach if you're trying to evaluate specific skills. But Aldon and Li were interested in something more nebulous. How big do language models really need to be if you simplify language as much as possible? Here's Aldon again.
In order to directly test if the model speaks English, I think the only thing you can do is let the model generate English in an open-ended way.
There are two ways to measure a model's performance on such qualitative questions. Rely on human graders or turn once again to GPT-4. The two researchers chose the latter route, effectively letting the big models both write the textbooks and grade the essays. Bhagavatula says he would have liked to see how GPT-4's evaluations compared to those of human reviewers. GPT-4 may be biased toward models that it helped train, and the opaqueness of language models makes it hard to quantify such biases. But he doesn't think such subtleties would affect comparisons between different models trained on similar sets of synthetic stories, the main focus of Aldon and Li's work. Aldon and Li used a two-step procedure for evaluating each of their small models after training. First, they prompted the small model with the first half of a story distinct from those in the training dataset so that it generated a new ending. They repeated this process with 50 different test stories. Then, they instructed GPT-4 to grade each of the small model's endings based on three categories: creativity, grammar, and consistency with the beginning of the story. Then they averaged the scores in each category, ending up with three final grades per model. With this procedure in hand, Aldon and Li were finally ready to compare different models and find out which were the star students. After some preliminary exploration, the two researchers settled on a training dataset containing roughly 2 million stories. They then used this dataset, dubbed Tiny Stories, to train models ranging in size from 1 million to 30 million parameters, with varying numbers of layers. It was quick work. Using only 4 GPUs, the largest of these models took no more than a day to train. The smallest models struggled. For example, one test story begins with a mean-looking man telling a girl he will take her cat. A million-parameter model got stuck in a loop with the girl repeatedly telling the man she wanted to be friends. But the larger ones, still thousands of times smaller than GPT 3.5, performed surprisingly well. The 28 million parameter version told a coherent story, though the ending was grim. Katie started to cry, but the man didn't care. He took the cat away, and Katie never saw her cat again. The end. In addition to testing their own models, Aldun and Lee presented the same challenge to OpenAI's GPT-2, a 1.5 billion parameter model released in 2019. It fared far worse. Before the story's abrupt ending, the man threatens to take the girl to court, jail, the hospital, the morgue, and finally, the crematorium. Nguyen says it's exciting that such tiny models were so fluent, but perhaps not surprising that GPT-2 struggled with the task. It's a larger model, but far from the state of the art, and was trained on a very different data set.
This is sort of like, okay, like the analogy would be like a toddler training only on toddler tasks, like playing with some toys, might do better than you or I trained on lots of different things, but we didn't specialize in this simple thing. We're not as good.
Comparisons between different tiny stories models don't suffer from the same confounding factors. Aldun and Lee observed hints that networks with fewer layers but more neurons per layer were better at answering questions that required factual knowledge. Conversely, networks with more layers and fewer neurons per layer were better at keeping track of characters and plot points from earlier in the story. Bhagavatula found this result especially intriguing. He says if it can be replicated in larger models,
that would be a really cool result that can stem out of this work.
Aldun and Lee also studied how their small models' abilities depended on the duration of the training period. In every case, models mastered grammar first and consistency later. To Aldun, this pattern illustrates how differences in reward structures lead to differences in language acquisition patterns between neural networks and children.
Children, they don't care so much about having the grammar correct. They actually have an end goal. When they say something, they don't care about getting the next word right. So if they want ice cream, they don't care about whether they say, "I would like to have some ice cream," or just ice cream, ice cream, ice cream. Whereas those models, the loss function, therefore the incentive on the words "I want to have," it's as big as it is on the words "ice cream."
Aldun and Lee hope that the research will motivate other researchers to train different models on the Tiny Stories dataset and compare their capabilities. But it's often hard to predict which characteristics of small models will also appear in larger ones. Language model researcher Ellie Pavlik talks with reporter Ben Brubaker.
Sometimes it's like, okay, maybe mouse models of vision are really good proxies of human vision, but like, are mouse models of depression good models of human depression? Maybe not, right? So for every case, it's a little bit different.
The success of the Tiny Stories models also suggests a broader lesson. The standard approach to compiling training data sets involves vacuuming up text from across the internet and then filtering out the garbage. Synthetic text generated by large models could offer an alternative way to assemble high-quality data sets that wouldn't have to be so large. Here's Aldun again.
We have more and more evidence that this is very effective, not only in tiny story size models, but also in larger models.
That evidence comes from a pair of follow-up papers about billion parameter models by Aldun, Lee, and other Microsoft researchers. In the first paper, they trained a model to learn the programming language Python using snippets of code generated by GPT 3.5, along with carefully curated code from the internet. In the second, they augmented the training dataset with synthetic textbooks covering a wide range of topics to train a general-purpose language model. In their tests, both models compared favorably to larger models trained on larger datasets. But evaluating language models is always tricky, and the synthetic training data approach is still in its infancy. More independent tests are necessary. As state-of-the-art language models grow ever larger, surprising findings from their tiny cousins are reminders that there's still much we don't understand about even the simplest models. Nguyen expects to see many more papers exploring the approach pioneered by Tiny Stories.
The question is, where and why does size matter? Do you need a larger model because language is complicated? Therefore, can you get away with the smaller model if your language is simpler? And what this shows is that, yes, actually, you can get away with a small model if your language is simpler. There should be a science of that. And this paper is hopefully the beginning of a rich story.
Arlene Santana helped with this episode. I'm Susan Ballett. For more on this story, read Ben Brubaker's full article, Tiny Language Models Come of Age, on our website, quantamagazine.org. Explore math mysteries in the quanta book, The Prime Number Conspiracy, published by the MIT Press, available now at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, or your local bookstore.